Somebody has said that greed is not defined by what something costs you, but it's measured by what, I mean, not by what it costs, but it's measured by what it costs you. Unless we think that it's not a problem in our society today, let me just mention a couple of things to you. Greed is what brought down CEOs of major corporations. Greed is responsible for crooked cops and politicians. Greed is at the root of the cutthroat, dog-eat-dog philosophy in the workplace.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Greed. God said he would supply all your needs, not all your greeds. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Greed. God said he would supply all your needs, not all your greeds.
Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Beware, lest it sneak in on you. What are the causes of greed? There are three basic causes of greed. What I call dread, desire, and delight. The three deadly D's. What is dread? Dread says, I might lose everything that I have. I fear that I'm going to lose everything, so what do I need to do? I need to get all I can right now. And so what does that do? That generates a spirit of greed within an individual. And we all know people like that. They are so fearful that they're going to lose their job. They're so fearful that they're going to lose their inheritance. They're so fearful that they're going to lose this or lose that, that what do? They just start accumulating and getting and getting and getting. And then they develop this spirit of greed. Now, again, the Bible is very specific that we need to be wise planners. The Bible is very specific that we need to lay aside money for the future, for a rainy day, for our retirement. There's no question about that. That, you know, as a matter of fact, the scripture is clear that you would be very unwise that if you have the ability to do it, that if you don't lay something up for yourself and make sure that you're taken care of. It's very clear. And even the scripture goes on to say that you should leave an inheritance for your children. All right? So let's be clear about that. But some people cross that line where out of fear that they begin to stockpile and they begin to lay up, and it generates within them a spirit of greed. The second thing is desire. And this is just a craving to have more than you actually need. That, you know, one thing I will say, and I kind of hesitate at saying this, but I'm content. I got the things that I want. I don't need any more. So somebody's going to say, well, let's look at his paycheck and see if we can't cut it a little bit. To be honest, the Lord has blessed me. You know, I mean, I know pastors that, I mean, they want more and more. They're trying. I'm content. The Lord has blessed me. But, you know, there are individuals that have this desire and they want more and more. And it becomes a spirit that dwells within them. And that is a spirit of greed. And then some people just are victims of greed because of delight. And that is that, you know, I want to experience the delights of pleasure. And the more things I have, the more pleasure I'm going to have. And so a lot of people, you know, that's where they're at. That it's either dread, desire, or delight. So as you sit there today, maybe you need to ask yourself the question, do I have a good balance in these areas right here? There's nothing wrong with pleasure. Absolutely nothing wrong with pleasure. I mean, there's pleasurable things I like doing. And those pleasurable things cost money. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with laying up something for the future. There's nothing wrong with allowing your desires to be taken care of. There's nothing wrong with those things. But it becomes a problem when the spirit of greed begins to consume our mind, begins to consume our spirit, begins to consume our soul, and then we're out to get all we can all we get, and then sit on the can. Then that's when the problem comes along. And so we see that Jesus said, beware, because it'll sneak up on you. What are the objects of greed? Very quickly, the objects of greed: money, food, possession, and people. You know, those are the things that people go after. Now notice, those of you who have the notes, in Amos 2:7, Amos says that people, that the greedy people who go after these things, he said they pant after the dust of the earth. Wow. You pant after the dust of the earth. That all these things are going to come to an end. They're all going to crumble and they're going to be blown in the wind. And yet and still we pant after these things. These things become the objects of our desire. And as we pant after them, we are panting after the dust of the earth. What is the result of greed? There are two results of greed. Proverbs 28 and verse 22 in the New Living Translation says this: greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. What are the two costs, the two main costs of greed? First of all, there's the cost of peace of mind. That an individual who is consumed with greed is never content. There's always something in their spirit that's driving them, that's moving them to get more. Even when they're sitting down at rest, their mind is constantly gone, and they can't be at rest because they're trying to think of how they can get more. And then they become so consumed with this idea of getting more that they begin to lose their family and friends. See, people don't want to be around people who are consumed with greed because it begins to be offensive. It begins to turn people off. And so as Proverbs says, that greedy people, that actually they're headed to poverty because they're going to lose the people that are most significant in their life. But more than anything else, they lose their peace of mind. What are the parameters of greed? The parameters of greed are very simple. Jeremiah said this: from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain, prophets and priests alike, all practice deceit. There's no parameters. There's no group of people who are more greedy than others. You know, let's not get mistaken here and think that the people on Wall Street or CEOs are the only ones that can be greedy. The prosperous and the poor, the potentate and the pauper, the politician and the people, the performer and the patron, the prudent and the pervert. It knows no parameters. That greed hits every level. I remember when I was in seminary, and man, I was so poor that I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I remember a guy told us to come over his house one day, and he had some lamps that he wanted to give us. And I went over with this other brother, and now he had, you know, he had a nice house, he had a job. And so we went over there, and he showed us these lamps, and a couple of these lamps were real nice. And the other ones, you know, they were kind of a little bogus, but, you know, he put them out there for us to choose. I'm trying to be humble, right? Poor seminary student. I'm trying to be humble. I learned my lesson about humility that day. I said, well, you go ahead, brother. You pick whatever you want first. I said, come on. I said, this brother knew where I was at, knew that I was struggling, knew that I had a wife and a child, and, you know, that I didn't even have a car. I mean, he knew all this stuff. But guess which lamps he chose, right? I said, okay, see? Spirit of greed, man. Spirit, you know, in the most Christian person, right? The most Christian person experiences greed. So, you know, we need to realize that there are no parameters. Don't think just because you are a Christian sitting in the church every week that you are exempt from greed. No, it hits all of us. Now, let me get to the end of my message because it's a little quiet, and I've been really trying to rush through this. Because I can see a lot of uneasiness here today. because I'm uneasy. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we want to look at steps to overcoming greed. Four steps to overcoming greed. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The first step is contentment. The first step, if you have a greedy spirit, or if you want to put guards in place against the spirit of greed coming into your life, the first thing that has to be true is that you have to be content with where you're at. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." In order for you to have victory over the spirit of greed, that you have to learn how to be content with the things that you have. And the reason that many people are greedy is because they're not content. If I could sing the song, I would sing it. But the temptation said, keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. Pills and lectures and tranquilizers and getting deeper in debt. You better leave. Oh, leave the Joneses alone. The Joneses got a new car. Oh, let me stop. Here's what you should say. Hooray for the Joneses. But instead, you worry till your whole head is gray. Worry about the Joneses. Remember, it's their car. They're the one that has to pay, so leave. Your car might be old, but it never failed to get you where you want to go. So the spirit of greed comes and begins to work in us when we are not content. And Paul told Timothy, he says that having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I read something the other day, and I thought that it was very powerful. It says that if you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the people in the world. 75% of the people in the world. If you can attend a church or synagogue meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pains of starvation, you are more blessed than 500 million people in the world. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is deep right here. Listen to this. Listen to this. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, or spare change in a dish, you are in the top 8% of the wealthiest people in the world. Somebody said, that don't do me too much. If you got a nickel in your pocket, you are in the top 8% of the wealthiest people in the world. And Paul said, having food and raiment, therewith be content. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than millions who will not survive this week. Amen. And so if we're going to overcome a spirit of greed in our life, first of all, we got to be content with where we're at. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, we should not try to get promotions on our job. We should not try to get raises. That's not the point. You know, the point is this spirit of greed driving you? That when it comes time to get the promotion, you know, is it a spirit of greed that's driving you? You know, are you clamming your fingers and eyes squinched up and tongue hanging out your mouth because you want this raise and you want this promotion? That's a spirit of greed. But if you can realize, oh, God, I thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for putting me in a position to get a raise. Thank you for putting me in a position to get a promotion. Oh, God, I thank you for blessing me today. Then that's the right perspective on things. Secondly, you got to realize the end result of greed. Paul says here in verses 9 and 10, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money," not money, "but the love of money is the root of all evil. which some coveted after they erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Paul paints two pictures here. He says, first of all, those that are greedy, he says, they fall into a snare. Well, what does that mean? Paul was using the picture of an animal caught in a trap. Can you imagine? You ever see one of them bear traps? And you see those, pow, how they snap on you like that? Yeah. He said that those who would be greedy are like being caught in a bear trap, that you're bringing all kind of pain upon yourself, unnecessary pain upon yourself. Man, have you ever heard an animal that's caught in a trap, how that when it first gets caught, how it howls and moans? And Paul's saying that when people are greedy, they get caught in these vices, they get caught in these traps, and they're very painful. They cost them relationships, they cost them sanity, they cost them peace of mind because they're caught in a trap. But notice the second picture that he gives. He gives the picture, look what he says in verse 10 at the very end. He says, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The word pierced. You ever see a pig? You've been to a pig roast? Or you go to some place where they have these chickens on the rotisserie? What do they got going through them? A skewer, right? A skewer is going through them, and then they're just slowly roasting. Paul says that they that are greedy have been skewed. They have pierced themselves through. Not only once, but many times they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And as I thought about that, what does that mean? What are the many piercings? Discontentment, unhappiness, frustration, disappointment, unrealistic expectations, a bad conscience. Those are all skewers that have been stuck into the greedy person. And so he's got these skewers in him, and now what's he doing? He's just slowly roasting to death, just turning, rotisserie. We need to sometimes think about the end result of greed. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me get through now. Number three, how can you overcome a spirit of greed? Trust in God. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, charge them that are rich in this age that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. How do you overcome a spirit of greed? You overcome it by trusting in the Lord, by trusting God. You see, when I trust God, then I know that God is going to give me whatever I need to have. That if I need to have a promotion, God is going to give it to me. That if I need a raise on my job, that God is going to give it to me. That if I have a financial need that I need to have worked out, that all, if I've got trust in God, he's going to work it out. I've never been and I've never seen anybody at the poorhouse that was there because they trusted God. Now, I don't know where the poorhouse is. Evidently, my dad knew where it was because he would tell me about it all the time. So he knew where it is. I still haven't found it yet, but if you find the poorhouse and you go down there and you start doing interviews, nobody is there because they trusted God. It's been for other reasons, but not because they trusted God. And so when we trust God, you know what Psalm 34:7 says? It says, delight in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So you can be greedy and try to accumulate all these things. You know, I just want to say this, that I remember when I started preaching, I had one suit, and it was a brown pinstripe suit. And I wore that suit so long that it just became a brown suit. I wore the pinstripes out of that suit. And then God blessed me to hook up with Brother LC. And to be able to go somewhere and buy some suits as a preacher for $60. I know y'all want to know where that place is. But I'm just saying that I didn't have the money to go out and buy suits, $200 and $300 suits. So the Lord hooked me up. The Lord showed me where I could get some suits, a couple suits for $60 a piece. And so what I'm saying, we can be greedy and we can get out here on our own, or we can let God open the doors and God bless us. Psalm 34:7, delight thyself in the Lord. Can you put that verse up there? Delight thyself in the Lord and he will give thee the desires of your heart. Amen. Well, I quoted it, so y'all know it, all right? Number four, generosity. How can you overcome a spirit of greed? Number four, by being generous. Verse 18, they that do good, that they shall be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to share. Ready to distribute and willing to share. That if we are going to overcome a spirit of greed in our lives, that we have to be willing to share with others. No, I'm not saying give the farm away, but there should be a, we should, you know, every child of God should have a spirit of generosity. Again, I'm not saying that you give the farm away, but I'm saying we should be noticed as being people who are generous. How in the world can we have God, who freely gave us his son, who lavishly gave us his son, who died on the cross, and now we have peace, grace, mercy, forgiveness, righteousness, sanctification, justification, glorification, and I can go, we got all these things, and then we come and we're stingy individuals. God is a generous God. He is a generous God, and he wants his people to reflect that. No, again, I'm not saying that we are stupid with our money and our possessions. That's not what I'm saying. But if we are going to overcome a spirit of greed, then we need to have a spirit of generosity that lives within us. Someone asked Dr. Carl Menninger, what would he advise a person to do if he felt a nervous breakdown coming on? Most people expected him to reply, consult a psychiatrist, because he was a psychiatrist. But you know what he said? To their astonishment, he replied, lock up your house, go across the railroad tracks, find someone in need, and do something to help that person. See, sometimes our deliverance from our own problems comes when we exhibit a spirit of generosity. God didn't say he was going to meet all your greeds, but he did say he would meet all your needs. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, this has been a little rough message up in here today, especially with all the guests, Lord. I would like to have preached a good glory to God, shouting down home message today. But Father, this is where we were at in the series. So Father, I pray that you would just touch our spirits today and help us, Lord, to not be overcome with a spirit of greed. Lord Jesus was very hard on the people who were greedy. And he was so hard on them that he gave a parable to try to show us that we need to avoid having that spirit within us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just touch our hearts today in this area. And Father, that you would always, as Jesus said, help us to be aware, to be on the lookout, Lord, that it does.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Worry, Anxiety. I gave it over to the Lord and he worked it out. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Greed, God said he would supply all your needs, not all your greeds, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Greed, God said he would supply all your needs, not all your greeds. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Greed, God said he would supply all your needs, not all your greeds. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.